Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go. Let's go.
Did you like my pick? 23-21? Did you think it was close?
I think it'll be close, John. Yeah, I don't know if it'll be that close, but I like it to be close.
I just thought,
and you picked the right team to win.
I've hemmed and hawed, and I just said, you know what, I'm not doing that today. Even though I've picked in the past and jinxed the Patriots by picking them, I said, no, I'm going to go right off the top today. I'm going to have a pick ready to roll off the top. So that's why I was glad that, you know, Paul asked. And so, yeah, I'm thinking 23-21 right now. Mm-hmm. But I will say this, that I do think that if the Patriots – I kind of agree with Teddy Bruschi and some of the things that he said earlier this week as well. I think the Patriots have got to come up with a turnover or two. The Jets don't do that. So yep. I think they've got to figure out a way to – you know, they got to come up with a break or two. I think that's going to be the difference in the game. If they don't and the Patriots, you know, happen to – you know, if Brady gets picked or, you know, they happen to leave the ball on the turf or something, then I can easily see that score flipping around. Easily, because the Jets are certainly capable. I got the impression as well in talking to Mark Cannizzaro from the New York Post yesterday, Eric, that he's not entirely confident in the Jets either this time around.
Well, and I don't blame him either, because typically these Jets-Patriots seasonal series are split. And the Jets got theirs on their home turf earlier this year. It's, you know, the Patriots are playing a lot better. They're a more cohesive team on both sides of the football.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets certainly are a different team than they were in week two as well.
Right.
Probably a better team than they were in week two. But I think New England has the advantage of the 11-day layoff. Doesn't matter who Belichick is coaching against. You give him 11 days, he's going to have more of an advantage, in my opinion. So I think Cannizzaro has, I think his instincts are right on this one. New England is they're favored. Again, not by a whole lot. We're not saying it's going to be a blowout, but I think he has reason to be concerned. I think the Patriots understand how important this game is. They understand the ramifications, even though they're reluctant to talk about them publicly. The Jets follow the lead of their head coach. You know, it all stems from the top down. So, you know, they know how important this game is. The Patriots are going to get it done.
Do you think that Rex or somebody is liable to open up their mouth and say something over the next 24 to 48 hours?
Oh,
and
yeah, how can they help themselves?
Well, that's what I was kind of hoping they'd do it before today's show, but
well, they might do it during the show. Who knows? Maybe they'll take their little communications devices out to practice and tweet from out there, you know?
Why don't they do that? Anyway, welcome inside Patriots Playbook for a Thursday. Good to have Eric
Scalabino.
It's
really Scalabino. A Wednesday.
Yeah, I realize it's Wednesday on your schedule because you were gone yesterday. But that's okay. It's Wednesday because we don't play
Saturday.
Till Monday. Yep. You'll be here Saturday?
Yeah, we got coverage. Right? Saturday's like a Friday.
Okay, Saturday's like a Friday.
Yep.
So you'll be out there covering practice.
Yep.
Okay, very good.
Well, all the Super Bowls are MIA.
Oh, that's right. They've got
Eastern
six,
Mass Super Bowls.
Six high school football games
long
going
here,
on
yeah,
here all
long,
day
yeah.
long on Saturday.
Yeah.
How did I get lucky to miss out on that, Kev? Look at him.
You got plenty of other games to do, John.
He's completely and totally spent over here on the other
side
of the
Yeah, just thinking
You're
about it.
You're a lucky man.
Wow.
You're a lucky, lucky man, John Rook.
Why is that?
Because you don't have to sit there for six straight games.
That's a long day.
Mm. Sure is. The first one's at 9.
I think
we'll
so.
Be going till like 10 o'clock at night.
Because
yeah. they're 10-minute quarters, and then you'll need a little bit of time in between to get teams out and warmed up and all that stuff.
Are they catering for you, Kev?
That's a good question. I think from talking to Jason, I'll be outside most of the time.
Wow.
Like out on the field for the whole day.
It's going to be, I think, partly sunny, cold.
I'm not too worried about
the weather.
Elements.
40s,
it's just being out there for that long. You know?
The cold gets you hungry, though.
It's true.
You stay out in the cold.
I'll bring some Twinkies in my pockets.
Nice. Okay. Wow. Six games all day long. Mm-hmm. You know, what a great thrill for the kids, obviously.
Sure.
Great
yeah.
thrill for the kids. And believe me, if I were in high school and had a chance to play in a venue like Gillette, that's great. Here we go. Eric, bring out the best
early.
In me.
Of course.
I'm going to digress right here. You've seen the stories in the local papers over the last day or two about UMass going bowl subdivision, about wanting to upgrade
the
program.
Yeah, talking about it, yeah.
What are your thoughts about them asking the Crafts about the possibility of utilizing Gillette Stadium?
As their home field?
As their home field.
Like for every game?
Possibly.
As a UMass grad, I'm pretty excited.
You like the move? You like them going FBS?
Yeah, why not?
Well,
why wouldn't I like
here's
it?
The thing. They're going to put 68,000 fans in the seats every
God,
week?
God, no.
No.
Half
then
that
no,
if
then,
they're lucky.
No, then I'm not for it.
They might get half.
They might get half.
I'll let them play a game here every year. You know,
you mean
they
like,
yeah,
you mean
if
like
they have the one, if yeah. they have the one BC UMass game here,
then you play that here, make it a special game.
Yeah,
sure.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool, but
not
every week.
But they have to have, what's their stadium hold right now, Kevin?
Holds about 17,000.
Okay, see, they have to have a stadium that seats at least 30.
They'd have to tear it down and upgrade
for
a new one.
Oh, yeah.
So they have to upgrade.
They would have to upgrade, certainly. But this is too much of an upgrade.
Yes,
all right, but
maybe
they utilize this in the interim while they're building a new facility, and then they can still come back and say, hey, we're going to play one game here every year or what have you. You know,
okay.
They can play.
All right.
Can play BC here.
Right.
They can play UConn here.
Yeah.
They could. You know,
they're
going
to have to build this stadium for their own on campus.
I'll buy that argument.
So they could use this in
the interim.
While they're building the new one.
They're going to have a Rentschler Field type of thing like UConn has.
Or
that seats 40,000.
Or Boston College holds like 45,000, something like that. Not quite to what we have, but you know, 20,000 or 30,000.
Yeah, 30,000 to 40,000.
What's
probably
the lower bowl here seat? 28. Does
I think
it seat
more,
30?
I think it seats more than that.
Does it seat 30?
Because we had the lower bowl open for the UMass UNH game,
right.
And it drew 33.
All right. Well, see, then there you go. There's your problem solved. Just close the upper deck and put those stinking soccer banners up there or whatever, and just open the lower bowl only for college
yeah.
football.
I suppose
you could do that.
Yeah, I suppose
you could do that. You'd have 35,000 seats available. That would meet all your FBS guidelines, and UMass would have a home.
Yeah, I still think though they would need their own on-campus home
eventually. Sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
so this wouldn't be a permanent solution. This would just be a Band-Aid.
Of course. But I think it's good for college football in the area. You know, it seems to be good for UMass if they want to take, you know, that step. I mean, Villanova's going through
I'd like to see a Big East, a legitimate
Big
East football conference with Big East teams that play basketball and football.
Funny that the announcement by UMass came the day after TCU accepted a bid of the Big East.
Oh, TCU.
How about that?
Oh, just I understand why they did it, but it doesn't make any sense at all.
Hey, Eric, what division are the Dallas Cowboys in?
The East, I know.
Okay. Who are their chief rivals in that division?
The Redskins.
And?
Giants, Eagles.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all East.
And where are
teams.
Those teams?
All
okay.
in the East.
All right,
yeah.
Just wondering.
I know
just kind of thinking out loud
I know
here.
That. I know
okay.
that.
Okay, all right.
I know that. But
so,
that doesn't make it right.
Why? Based on, according to what?
Geography. That's what.
But we accept the Dallas Cowboys in the NFC East for the last four decades. What the hell is wrong with starting TCU?
We accepted them because of the tradition. There's no tradition
here. There
was
no tradition before they were in the NFC East. The tradition has to start somewhere.
But they were forced into that because of the alignment, weren't they? Wasn't that the reason why they were in the East
to begin
with? I have
no idea. No idea. It's just that the powers that be stuck them in the NFC East with Philly, with Washington,
because they had nowhere else to
York.
Go. I think because they had nowhere
else
to go.
Well, originally, you know, they were in the same division with St. Louis.
Which
and they
makes
put
sense.
St. Louis in there because St. Louis was the closest team to
makes
them.
Makes sense. Denver would have made sense if they were in the same conference.
No. No, St. Louis made more sense than Denver. They're much closer to St. Louis.
And no, but I mean, it makes much more sense than Washington, New York, Philly.
All I'm saying is that fans have gotten used to the Dallas Cowboys being in the NFC East
They've gotten
for
used
decades,
to it over 50
and
years of
TCU
football.
TCU fans and football fans, college football fans in that part of the country will get used to them playing in the Big East. Now, if you're going to tell me
Spoken
Syracuse
like a true
fans,
Fort Worth native.
Of
right
course.
There.
Of course. But if you're going to tell me, though, that Syracuse fans and Syracuse.
Sometimes.
When they pay me. But if you're telling me that Syracuse and Connecticut and South Florida and teams like that are going to,
I don't
know,
consider South
no.
Florida a Big East team,
no.
first of all.
I know. Well, nor do I, but I'm not going to look a trip
Syracuse,
to Tampa in the gift
UConn,
in the mouth.
Boston College, Georgetown.
Yep.
Villanova, Seton I can Hall. Even – I mean, those are Big East teams.
Seton Hall.
If Providence,
St. John's,
Providence had a football field, they would be – they should have a football
team. I think
team
Providence
too.
Should start a football team and use Gillette Stadium.
That'd be sweet.
Can we start that rumor? I did that. Yeah, you got to know. I did that a few years back when I was doing local television in Providence. I don't know. You probably don't remember it. But this was probably 1990 or 91 is while I was still at Channel 12.
Okay.
And I did an April Fool's joke, and I got everybody to go along with it, including
really?
John Marinato, who's now the Big East commissioner. He was the athletic director of Providence.
He was in on the joke, you mean?
He was in on the joke. Okay. He said it wasn't that Providence was going to start D1 football. It was that Providence was going to start a college football program, and they were going to start out D3.
Uh-huh.
They were
going to work their way up.
And work their way up, but they were going to use Pierce Field in East Providence. Uh-huh. As their home. And I had everybody believe in it
wow.
until the very end of the sportscast when I said, what day's today?
What day's today? Oh,
April 1st.
April 1st.
Mm-hmm. And these stories that I just talked about in the sports cast.
Wow,
April Fool!
Wow,
had everybody going. It was
that's
awesome.
That's a good one to pull though because it's
believable.
It's
I had him
it's
on
plausible.
Camera saying,
right.
"Yeah, we're really looking it's forward plausible. To you know getting Providence football back going for the first yeah. time since 1950."
Oh, they actually had football at
oh,
PC?
Oh, good Lord, yes.
Oh, I didn't know they did.
Yeah, they dropped it post World War II.
Oh, didn't know that.
And never brought it back. There was talk about, but it, they
where'd
actually
where'd they play?
They actually played there. I think
on Huxley Ave there.
Yeah,
in the soccer field.
I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Yeah, they played somewhere there near on campus. Somewhere near on campus.
Wow.
But they actually played up until around 1950-51, and then they decided that they just the good fathers at the time decided
yeah.
they couldn't support it anymore. This is what Villanova's going through right now. Villanova, you know, dropped football back in the 80s, brought it back in at a lower level, and they've stayed at the 1AA or now FCS level since the late 1980s.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
Now that they've won a national championship, the natural progression is, well, what
up.
Do we do big time?
Right.
Well, the Big East has given them, not an ultimatum, but they've invited them to join the big league.
Yeah.
And from what I'm understanding, Villanova is leaning toward not upgrading. And the reason that they're doing it is primarily, from what I've heard, is due to Title IX issues because you have to add another 20, 25 football scholarships above the 60 or whatever it is they've got now for FCS.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to add another on the women's end as well. And that's a cost and an expense that they really don't think that they want to do. They think it'll stretch their means, and they don't really have a home field set, and they're thinking about saying no.
They could play at Lincoln Financial.
No, not really, because Temple's already there.
Temple uses that for all their – they don't have a stadium?
No.
No, I didn't know. I thought Temple had a
– Temple uses the link.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Did they used to use the old vet?
They did for the old vet, yes. I called games in the old vet, yes.
I always thought Temple had their own field.
Nope. Nope.
Hmm.
They've always kind of played where the Eagles have played. They actually even played for a brief spat at
Franklin
Field. Yeah,
really?
where Penn still plays.
Yep.
UPenn still plays there.
Yeah, it's their home field.
Yeah, so, one of the oldest fields in the country. So
the track around it.
All right. Good bit of digression here, Eric.
Yeah, might as well start off with it this week because, you know what? We've got plenty of time to talk about the Jets.
Well, I thought about that yesterday, and after we got off the show yesterday, it was dead. It was just DOA. There was no interest. There was no nothing. I had a few of our regulars and a few of our diehards. I think chipping in, but it was just dead. I think people have to pace themselves, especially when it's a Monday night game and it's a game that is the caliber of this game, because we all want to talk about the game, but we don't want to talk about it until we're sick of it.
Well,
and so you find yourself wanting to pace yourself a little bit, and I thought yesterday was a pace day. It's kind of like a racehorse getting out and running his laps, just going through the motions before the big day. You don't want to burn yourself out, and I kind of got the feeling that that's what we were doing yesterday.
Makes sense. Players were off.
I
was off.
Eric was off. So obviously, there was nothing going
on
if Eric
was
off.
Right, yeah. So
did we have practice today?
Yeah,
they're out
did.
There right now.
Yeah, we did. They're out there now, yeah.
Any kind of report today?
Sure. Brady was out there,
mm-hmm,
which
mm-hmm.
was a little – he wasn't there. Tuesday they practiced, but Tuesday was like Tuesday wasn't a Tuesday,
right?
Obviously, because they were here.
Right.
But they had a full pads practice on Tuesday. Brady was not there. Another full pads practice today.
That's more of a maintenance issue than anything else, isn't it?
Fact that he wasn't there?
Yeah, the fact that he's missed, one day of practice each of the last four or 5 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they've done pretty well with that system, so I don't think they're...
So they're going to stay with
it. Yeah, so why fix it if it's not broken?
I don't disagree with that.
So he was back. Ron Brace, who missed Tuesday, was back. The other four who missed Tuesday were still missing. Will Hite, Neal. Will Hite has a hip, Neal a shoulder, Pryor the back, and Mike Wright the neck/concussion, which has become the vogue description for this injury now, John. I don't know if you know around the league, when a guy gets it's a concussion, they list it as neck/concussion or a neck injury and then concussion. I don't understand what the
is that to cover all bases?
Is. I don't know. But it doesn't pass the sniff test to me. If it's a concussion, just call it a concussion. It used to be a head injury, and then they would call it a concussion later. Now they're going to neck. I don't understand what's going on with this.
Interesting.
I don't like it, though.
Okay.
Because to me, a neck injury involves, like, paralysis and spinal cord. I don't like where this is heading. Pardon the pun. None intended.
Well, I think it's just, you know, the vagaries of the whole, you know, injury rules in the NFL. This is probably in response to, you know, getting pressure for more specifics.
I don't know how much more specific you can get than concussion.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah.
Well, no, you really can't. Should be kind of all encompassing.
But I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying because now if you say the guy's got a concussion, if you say a guy's got a concussion,
pretty soon
during the game,
injuries are going to be limited to above the shoulders and below the shoulders.
Yeah.
That's it.
If you say that a guy has a concussion during the game,
he can't.
The new
come
rules:
back.
He can't come back during the game. So if you
but
say
if you
he's
say
got a head
neck,
or a neck, you leave the door open.
Leave the door
ajar.
Door
so,
is ajar.
Yeah. So I kind of, there's something not right about this. The whole thing, the way it's set up, I
doesn't
don't like
pass
it.
The smell test.
I don't like it. I don't like
pass
it.
The smell test. Okay.
I don't like it. But anyway, so those four were missing. Beautiful day outside, so they're up on the outdoor fields because they'll be outside this week.
Do we even care if Fred Taylor comes back to play?
Sure. I'd like to know that there's an insurance policy there. I mean, Benny's been running the ball
pretty effective.
Well. Woodhead's been playing the Kevin Faulk role to perfection.
Absolutely.
No problem with either of those two. I would like the opportunity to spell Benny a little bit because this is the first time he's really getting a lot of carries towards the end of the season as we get into the playoff stretch. I'd like to maintain his freshness as we get closer to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can give him a couple of series off, let Taylor come back in, work his way in. Always better to have the options, John. You know? Always better to have the options. I'd like to see him play a little bit.
Chances. Put an odd on it.
Well, I thought he was going to come back for Pittsburgh.
We all did.
Thought he was going to come back for Indy.
We all did.
Thought there was a chance he'd play on Thanksgiving.
Yep.
So
still
I'll go out again. He's got a chance to play.
Must be one miserable toe.
Well, but they're tough. If you've had it and you're an athlete, it's
difficult. I'm actually not making light of that.
Really difficult.
It must be, you know, something that really just keeps aggravating.
You run all the pressure. You run on the on the balls of your feet.
Mm-hmm.
All the pressure goes down there.
Why the hell don't they just put a boot on his foot and tell him to stay off it for, you know, 4 weeks?
Well, he was off it for all those weeks,
and now he's back on
but
it, and
it's
still not working.
It's sensitive, you know. It's a sensitive injury. I'm going to go all R. Lee Ermey on me over here.
It's just like, you know, what kind of injury do you have? You know, I've got to
amputated like a wussy
arm
injury.
What kind of injury do you have? I got an amputated leg. What kind of injury do you have? Toe. Hurt my big toe.
I know. It sounds wussy, but.
Sounds wussy? I mean, come on! I can't imagine. And you know what? I'm sounding like I'm making light of Fred. I'm not. I just, you know, I'm sure he feels about it the same way.
I'm sure he is frustrated by it, the whole thing, and can't wait to get back out there
because
he's been answering the same questions for the last 4 weeks,
over and over,
three weeks, whatever. But
I know. Okay, fair enough.
Well, by the way, just
go.
a good up-tempo mood at practice too today. Very
That's
lively.
Good. We had that last week too. Yeah,
a little bit more. Intense, I think, would be the word I'd use. A more intense upbeat practice as opposed to a lighthearted upbeat practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more focus, more energy. They know what's going on, John. They know what the deal is this week.
Including the rookies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. You always like to hear that. For some reason or another, there's some sort of a calming effect that, okay, the guys, they know what's at stake here, like they wouldn't know, but we all know what's at stake here. Fact is, I said this yesterday, and I got to repeat it again right now, this game means more, without question, to the Patriots than it does to the Jets.
Of course.
The Patriots don't win this game on Monday night. The AFC East is over. You're looking at a 5 seed in the playoffs, no matter what happens over the last month of the season.
Or 6.
Or a 6 seed, yeah. But the best you could do
best
would be a 5.
Be a 5, yeah.
Because, in effect, you're going to be 3 games out of the division lead.
You're right.
So you got
to
win this game Monday. If you want a chance to win the division, which would mean a chance at the 1 or the 2 seed.
Most likely the 1.
And most likely the 1. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. You're looking at home field advantage throughout the entire playoffs.
Yes.
Who wouldn't want to have 2 playoff games here?
Yes, there's a quarter of the season left after this, but you're right.
This is
it. If they win this game, chances are they win the top seed.
I will allow this, and I said this yesterday, and once again, I'm going to say it again today for those that weren't a part of it yesterday. Even if the Patriots win this game, they don't sew up the AFC East.
They don't sew it up.
Because
no.
They would be, they would be a game ahead of the Jets, but tied with them in the division. So
yes.
One stumble
right.
By the Patriots puts everybody back at square zero.
Right. Right.
Not
and
even square one, square
and
zero.
The interesting thing about the remaining schedule for both teams is that it's nearly identical as far as opponents. The only difference is the Jets have to play the Steelers, New England plays the Packers, but they both play Dolphins, Bills, Bears in the final month.
Mm-hmm.
And New England's already beaten the Steelers, so it would help if the Steelers
sure
came up big in that game.
No question.
You can't get a better litmus test. You're playing the same opponents, and whoever has one stumble, that's going to make the difference.
Well, that's why, I had somebody try to tell me, well, yeah, but if they lose the Jets, it doesn't mean it's over because the Jets still have the Steelers and the Bears.
So much more of an uphill battle, though.
But it's a huge uphill.
So much more of an
uphill
battle.
First of all, so the Patriots are 1 game back. Fine, the Jets could lose once. I'll allow for that. But if you get back tied with them, you're still 2 back in the division.
Mm.
So the Jets still hold the tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, yeah,
right.
You have to look at it that way. They have to win. The Jets would have to lose. First of all, in terms of division tiebreakers, the Patriots are done. So they have to hope that they would finish better than the Jets' regular season record. They would be done if they lose this game on Monday. They're not gonna beat the Jets in any
right,
tiebreaker.
The tiebreaker is head-to-head.
First tiebreaker is head-to-head.
Right.
Second tiebreaker is division.
Right.
And they'd be through because they're gonna lose the first tiebreaker. They'd lost twice.
Mm-hmm.
But even if they hadn't, 2 losses in the division. Jets have 0 right now. So I'm saying, that's why this game means a heck of a lot more right now to the Patriots than it does the Jets.
Yep.
Jets still have, a good shot. Not a great shot, but a good shot at the potential to win the AFC East, even if they lose Monday. The Patriots have no shot.
You're right.
If they lose.
You're right. And you have to thank the schedule makers for putting this game in New England.
This late
the
in
second,
season.
This second game in New England because that's an advantage for the Pats.
No question. Put the game that really has something on the line here now as opposed to week 2 in the season when they lost to the Jets.
And for some reason, the schedule makers like to put us, the Patriots, in New York in week 2. It's happened like seven or eight times in the past 10 or 12 years.
Early TV stuff.
But not just that matchup, Patriots-Jets, but that it's in New York in week 2.
Wonder why that is.
I don't know.
We should ask.
It helps the Patriots because if they happen to get the win in New York, they still get the advantage when they come home for the second game.
Right, right. All right, the question then that is an obvious one today. I want your scores. I want your predictions. I want your thoughts on Monday night.
Because it's really a Thursday on the calendar.
It's a Thursday on the calendar.
And the show calendar.
And the show calendar as well. Wednesday of work. But we still need your predictions here today because this will be the last time that we have the playbook until, next Wednesday. So in that regard, because we won't be here Tuesday.
We won't be here
because
Tuesday
is going to be Monday.
Right.
It's a screwed up.
It's going to be a Tuesday for us. And a
screwed up calendar again. We basically had the last month screwed up schedule-wise between Thanksgiving and
Monday night game
and my travel schedule doing other games and all that. It is what it is.
It's still 2010, though, John.
Is it still 2010?
Yeah. Less than a month.
What month is it? It's December, right? Okay. Today the 2nd?
Yes.
Okay. See, I'm right. I got lucky. I'm right. I was just telling you, I'm in the middle of a 16-game and 29-day stretch for me. And I'm working on games
ambitious.
Already that are a week away from now. And so I'm
how much,
in my mind, it's like December the 9th already.
How much show prep do you do for a game, typical game? Or, I mean, obviously it varies for football, basketball, but...
I usually equate, you know, 2 hours for every hour I'm on the air. So if
so basketball games, 2 hours.
Basketball
right?
game broadcast usually runs me two and a half.
So you're looking at like 5 hours?
Yeah, so you're looking at about 5 hours of prep.
So for a football game, 3 to 3.5 hours.
About 7 hours.
Damn.
Prep. Yeah, there's numbers and names to memorize, brother.
Do you have literature in front of you during the game? Or?
Usually, yeah. I mean, I have a flip chart.
But you need to.
I have a flip chart,
try
but
to know
you can't. You can't
yeah.
stare at your flip chart and watch the
and
play
watch
at
the
same
play.
Time.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
So that's why you have to have a working knowledge. It's almost like having a big crib sheet in an exam. That's what I liken it to.
Okay.
Okay. You're going off the top of your head with, you know, and I like actually filling things out and plugging things into my charts because it helps commit things to memory when you're physically writing or in my case typing.
How do you do it? Do you have like a depth chart with notes on the side? Or
I have a two deep football. I have a two deep.
Yep.
I wait for the two deep. I get the two deep from the schools, you know, from the teams, mm-hmm. and then you know I put the two, plug the two deep in, put individual numbers in, any kind of accolades, things like that, and then you know probably anywhere from 6 to 12 notes depending on the importance of the game and what the keys are and things along and little you know informational tidbits that you know you can't get unless you read a notes column in a newspaper. You know,
see, I always like to
give people something that they don't get everywhere else, or anywhere else.
I think it would be fascinating to do a story about you or any, you know, a play-by-play guy or you know, a broadcast crew's preparation for a game.
I'm sitting in a booth.
I think it would be a fascinating story because people just think, you know, you turn on the broadcast.
And there we
you
are.
You just hear these facts coming out rapid fire.
And there we are.
Like, what goes into that? I mean, that I think to me, that might be that's
could be a future,
I don't know how we could work on it.
Could
but
be
it
a
would
future
be,
piece for PFW.
Could be. Could be.
I would invite you to come, you know, tag along. You can spot for me. I'll let you spot.
Now, that was a fun day when I got to do that.
Spotting?
Yeah, when I did it for the high school game we had here. I was like, man, I could get you, because I just liked it. I mean, I liked it a lot better than standing down there.
Well, first of all, you know,
it
gets you involved, and so you have something to do.
Well, you have to pay attention at all times, too.
Absolutely.
It helps
you
focus. Mm. Yeah, exactly.
This is one of the reasons why when I do a game, whether it's football or basketball, I keep track. In other words, during football games, I keep a play chart.
Yeah.
I keep a running drive chart.
Right.
You know,
like the game books we get at the end. You're doing it.
It's a very simplified version of it.
Sure.
But I'm just basically marking down the yard line the next play, so that way I can say, oh, that went from the 32 to the 43. That was an 11-yard gain.
Right.
And so I can always refer to that, and then I make a note on a big play or a scoring play.
Sure.
So I can always have it to refer back to when you're doing recaps.
I do that in a more modified version while I'm watching the game. You know, I break it into quarters, and like anything, like a big play, a score, an injury. Any sort of noteworthy item, I'll log for each quarter so that when I go back to write my analysis, I can say, when was that Merriweather interception?
Right.
You know, you can go back. And then I consult my game book, which we get from PR, to get the specifics of the play and all that. But just so that I can quickly write, you know. But you obviously do it a little more detailed.
Yeah, a lot. Well, actually, you'd be surprised. Mine isn't very well detailed. It's kind of my own little system. But, you know, it's really sort of archaic. I have it. I understand it. And so I know
That's all that matters.
That's right. That's what it goes to.
But I think people would develop a lot better appreciation for the job that you guys in the business do.
You guys.
If they could, you know, find out just exactly what kind of preparation you have to do. I mean, that's incredible. 2 hours for every hour you're on the air.
I would say that's about an average.
That's impressive.
That's impressive.
And you know, I'd like to see the layout, like on game day, what you actually have in front of you, how you organize it. You obviously have a system because you've been doing it for so long. Like,
usually, I have the wall or the glass next to me, separating the next booth.
Mm-hmm.
I've got
plastered all over.
I've got two or three things up there. First of all, if I'm doing a network game, I've got the network program log because
especially if you don't like the broadcaster in the next booth, you throw some extra stuff.
Throw up some papers on the wall. I'm not looking at those guys; they suck. I've got the broadcast log, because I got to know when the spots are playing. Number one,
sure.
Number two,
yep.
I've got an extra copy of a lineup, a spot chart, if you will. So in case there's a number out on the field I don't recognize, these are usually done up the night before a game.
Mm-hmm.
There's a change, I can always look to my left and cheat and say, oh yeah, that's 85 or whatever, and guy's name. You want to get that right, because hey, everybody's mom and dad is listening.
Pronunciation.
You look at it like that. Yes,
right,
you got
exactly.
Pronunciations, all that. You want to have basic things like the refereeing crew and their names and schedules handy, and so you just post everything on the wall next to you. But really, all I have in front of me is I have a small little laptop, so I can have stats. I usually use a GameCast or Live Stat or whatever they have.
We do that for NFL games.
Right. So I have that. The NFL Jesus, stat.
That's what we use.
Right.
Yep.
And we have a very similar thing. And then
that's GSIS.
Yes.
Not as
J-E-S-U-S,
in touchdown Jesus.
Yeah.
Like
no,
in Notre Dame.
GSIS. Right. I understand that. And then because I've seen that system before, and it's actually a great system. And then
it is heavenly. I will say.
Here we go.
Ta-dum.
Thank you very much. He'll be here all week.
Not really. Well, actually, I will.
Yes,
I'll be here Saturday.
That's what you're not listening to me. You're not listening.
What'd you say?
I like it. Then I got the flip chart, my own flip chart that I do, and there's usually a television monitor of some kind. That's what I have in front of me, and my binoculars.
Oh, yeah. You cannot watch a game anywhere without binoculars.
Well,
if
the
you're
thing
in this
is,
business.
Two of the games that I've done this year are at Miami, which is
a terrible
box. Is in the baseball press box. I'm right behind home plate.
It's a terrible press box.
I mean, it would be an outstanding seat if I was doing a freaking baseball game, but I'm not.
Oh.
And so I'm in the back of the end zone, and when the drive is at the other end of the field, and especially
and
when
it's not
a
high press box.
No,
it's a low press box.
And when they're coming toward me?
Yeah.
And you can't see any numbers?
Yeah.
That's just great.
Yeah. Miami is one of the worst press boxes.
Pittsburgh is close behind. Because you've been to the pit, you've been to Heinz Field.
Yeah.
I was just there last
weekend.
All right. The problem is that it's in the end zone.
Right.
And so again,
a lot of them are in the end zone though. Nowadays,
I understand that, but at
the
least
luxury suite,
you're high up enough though to where it
you're high up enough.
Make
you can see the whole grid.
You can see the grid. Here, you have a hard time seeing the grid.
Yeah, you're too far down in
Miami
one.
When you're down at the other end of the field and a team is coming toward you, it's really tough to see jerseys.
The numbers. So the field numbers. Like
if
where
you
they
don't
are.
Have glasses,
yeah.
You are sunk, brother. I mean, it's and what I did last week, I'm coming from Cancun. I had a basketball tournament. I packed my glasses in my bag, and I was lamenting the fact because now it wasn't going to leave me any room for bringing back a bottle of tequila.
Oh, boy.
So I'm like, damn, I'm not going to get anything through customs because
maybe
I got my stupid glasses.
Get drunk.
Thank you, Eddie Mack. That's very true.
You didn't have
I wanted
like
to
straps
do that.
For the binoculars you could hang them around like a tourist?
No,
your neck,
no I didn't want
to
do
fake
that.
It.
I didn't really want to do that. It attracts attention to you, the whole touristy thing, right?
Yeah.
So, begrudgingly, I put my binoculars in the bag. Obviously, I had no room in the bag because I packed. I didn't want to check baggage. I'm carrying on with me.
Okay, yep.
It's very important when you travel. You know this as well.
The mini toiletries,
everything. Yeah. Everything's mini size,
right?
So we get to Pittsburgh after coming back from Cancun, and I've survived the week with the one bag, I'm down to the last set of clothes, pair of shorts, everything, right? And, of course, I got the glasses in the bag. Get out of the car, got to walk from where we were parking to up to Heinz Field. It's a pretty good hike, actually. And get to the press box. Guess what I left in the car?
The binoculars.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Just, completely and totally one of the stupidest things in the entire world. And I said, I'm not going to survive the day. I don't think I'm going to survive the day because I know being in the end zone, looking down at that far end of the field, it's not going to happen. Fortunately, I was able to make do because West Virginia and Pittsburgh last Friday both brought out their Nike Pro Combat uniforms, the 10 schools this year kind of debuted.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're block-styled numbers rather than that slanted crap that you see. You can't tell an 8 from a 6.
Yeah.
So that helped tremendously. It really did. It helped tremendously. And it was black or dark on white, which was also brilliant freaking idea.
Yeah.
None of this, white on yellow stuff. Yeah. I'm like, come on. Jeez. Whatever happened to just seeing the number on the back of a jersey?
Right.
So you can identify somebody. This whole, the organization of college football.
Organization. I like that.
And of course, who does Oregon's uniforms?
Of course, Nike.
Yeah, naturally. Nike's just ruined it for most broadcasters around the country. Until, of course, they can come up with some swag for us, and then they'll be, then they'll be the best
2012,
thing.
My friend.
Well, it'll happen at some
2012.
Point. 2012?
They have the Nike has the new contract.
Oh,
for
that's
the NFL.
Right. The new NFL contract
begins in 2012. They have uniforms.
Can't wait to see what they'll break out now in 2012. Can't wait.
But they still need to create the throwbacks like we wore on Thanksgiving and on Halloween.
Those were great, weren't they? Again, they just
I want those back for good, John.
Wouldn't that be
I love
great?
Those uniforms.
The red jerseys.
The 85 version.
Yeah, the red jerseys.
The 85 version, not the ones they wore last year for the 50th AFL.
Would you wear the red jersey with flying elbows as opposed to Pat Patriot?
No. Pat Patriot's got to come back, too.
You think so?
I love Pat Patriot. I grew up with those uniforms. They're sentimental to me. I just love it. I love the whole color scheme, everything. I was...
That might have to be a question of the day.
Beside myself.
Would you bring back Pat Patriot?
When they went in 93, when they changed to that hideous World League-looking thing that they first had with the red numbers on the blue shirt and the...
Yeah, that was
atrocious.
Pretty, yeah, that wasn't good. It was. That's a good way to describe it. World
Football
League.
It was World League. It was just terrible.
USFL stuff.
Oh.
Hey, don't laugh. I was in the USFL.
Jersey Generals?
No, I did the games for the San Antonio Gunslingers.
Oh, that you were in Texas. That's right. Yep.
Guy that I do ACC games with is John Bunting, former Eagles linebacker, former North Carolina coach.
Mm-hmm.
He was playing for the Philadelphia Stars.
Okay.
His last 2 years of pro football were the first 2 years of the USFL in the mid-1980s. And so we had nice yucks about that. We did the Miami-Virginia Tech game was the last game we did together. And he was laughing all about it until I told him the USFL still owes me money. And then he stopped laughing.
Oh, no.
I'm like, thanks, brother. Brothers in solidarity here.
Oh, man.
I think that's $100 I'm never going to see.
You should go to Trump Tower. He was involved in the...
Donald Trump was chiefly responsible for the USFL dying.
Yeah.
There's no question in my mind. Did you watch
the 30-30?
Yes, I was just going to say, you know, great minds think alike, Eric. That's why I love this hour so much together, because we can talk about anything,
right.
None of it making any sense, and then all of it. And then all of a sudden, all of it makes sense.
It all comes back
together.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yes, I watched the USFL 30 for 30, and I thought that was one of the best ones they did. That one and the Marcus Dupree one recently.
I didn't see Marcus Dupree.
You got to see it. It's phenomenal. Phenomenally well done.
Two Escobars and the Vlade Divac.
Vlade Divac one. I heard that
Petrovic
was a good
one.
Hadn't seen that one. I heard that was really good.
Prepare to be choked up at the end.
I heard.
It's really emotional and well done.
Well, anytime, you know, you talk about country splitting and civil war keeping brothers apart.
I didn't know the whole backstory about the two of them.
Right.
And when you find it out, it's heartbreaking. It really is.
Webradio at patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Jump on in. Facebook page is up and running. Need your score predictions for Monday night. You need to keep Eric and I from digressing today. If you're going to keep us on the track here, we need some emails to read. It's that simple. Okay? So you're going to have to fire off your score predictions. I realize the game is not until Monday. Get off the fence. Okay? I made my pick at the very first of the show in an effort to get off the fence that Erica is always killing me about. Oh, you got to get off the fence. You got to make a pick. You got to take a pick. All right? I did that for you today. It's
good.
Done.
Good.
Over. Now I need somebody else to stand up and make a call, make a pick.
You want me to do that? You want me to start it off?
No, I'll let you come back and do it again in case they missed you at the tail end of PFW.
I'll do it when I leave at 3 o'clock.
You can do that again, but I need you know, those who listen to this program, Patriots fans.
12 minutes from now, I'll make my pick.
UK Pats fans, I know you're on board. Let's go. Get off, you know, your high horses here. Start typing on the keypad. Send the email. webradio@patriots.com. Pick it. Jets, Pats, which way are we going? We'll get back to it in the playbook coming up.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.
So, Pat, how many advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios services available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Braves! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
All right, here we go. Steve steps up, says blowout. Patriots 39-21.
Oof.
39.
I'll take it, but 21. I'm not holding my breath for that.
Mary Beth, Pats 31, Jets 10.
Another blowout, boy.
Two blowouts in a row.
That's two 21-point blowouts in a row then.
I'm not feeling that confident.
I am not feeling that confident either, but I'll take it if it happens. But, man, that's a whooping against a good team.
Well, we still need you to contribute here. So those came in just over the last, 30 seconds or so. Webradio at patriots.com, or if you're listening and you got Facebook up, come to the Facebook page. It's John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E. If you don't have the friend offering in, go ahead and submit the friend request. I'll be happy to answer it, and then you can post, you can chat, whatever you like to do. That's what we kind of use as our hangout spot during the show here on in the Patriots Playbook. Our friend Derek from University of Arizona. Yeah. I have the big rivalry game against ASU tonight on ESPN, the Jets on Monday night. It's going to be a full of hatred and great football. If you want to make a trip out before 6, I have some Dos Equis and lime waiting for you. Oh! P.S. I am headed out to my hometown of Marblehead for Christmas from the 20th to 28th. We'll be in town doing a show. I'd love to jet over, no pun intended, visit in person. Oh, by the way, Pats 27-23.
Only if you bring lunch, Derek. You know the rules.
Derek, yeah. Derek, let's just count. Let's
college
just,
student or not.
College
mom
student
and dad
or not. Right. Somebody's got to foot the bill here. I don't make the rules. The PFW guys made the rules long before I ever got here, and I've only been here for 10 years, okay? So it's their rules, it's their lunch, it's their place. But you know what? If we need some negotiation because you are a college student, I think we can come up with something. But by
but
all
he's
means,
he's from Marblehead. So
he's from Marblehead. Marblehead. So come on. I mean, you know, you just got to be a little something, something there, right?
Right.
Okay. He says 27-23 Pats, but I hope it's more like 56-0.
Ooh, that's almost going to be my score.
27-23.
I'm wavering between that and 28-24.
All right. Well, I said
be one of those two.
I said 23-21.
Four-point win.
I said 23-21 Patriots. Going to stick with it. I think it'll be very Colt-like in its finish. I think the Jets will have the ball. I'm not so sure Sanchez will move them within the precipice of scoring
and
like
Alcoa,
like Peyton
fantastic
Manning did.
Finish for the defense.
Yeah, but I do think, though, that the defense will step up and make another play. They've made plays when they've had to. I don't know if it'll be a pick. Maybe it'll be a fourth down
stop. Fumble.
Could
fumble,
be a forced
maybe.
Fumble. Could be something. Could be a big sack. Who knows? But they'll make a stop. They'll make a play that will result in a stop that will decide the game. That's what I'm saying here. They'll bend. They'll crack three times. I'm going to give them three touchdowns. I'm going to give the Jets three touchdowns.
I think you have to.
I'm not sure the Patriots can score more than three touchdowns against the Jets defense. I'm not sure. Mm. I'm going to give the Jets defense some credit. So what I'm saying here is two touchdowns,
right, a couple field goals,
and three Shane Graham field goals is basically what I'm looking at. And even that's a little bit iffy.
Yeah, I know.
So, you know, it could be 27-21, 23-21 is what I'm thinking, because I want to give proper respect and respect that is due to the Jets defense, because they have been one of the better units in the league this year from start to finish.
Sure.
And that's what concerns me the most.
Not
as
dominant as I expected them to be, but still consistently.
Statistically speaking, they have been right there. There's a reason the Jets are 9-2, even through their offense's foibles this year. Mm. It's because the defense has been a constant.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets, to me, have the makeup of a team over the years that looks like a contender. Whereas the Patriots, I would argue right now, still don't, because you got to have some kind of a defense that can help you win a championship. Mm. I still think we all have questions as to whether or not the Patriots defense can be like that, Eric. Don't you think?
Still some lingering doubt.
Of course.
But I feel a lot
when
better.
When you're giving up 400 yards a game, bro.
Of course, right. But I feel better about the fact that they are making those plays like you referenced earlier when they have to.
All right.
Something I wasn't sure they'd be able to do going into this season. There was too many question marks. Whether or not this guy would develop, whether or not this young player would step up. You know, there was just too much uncertainty. They're starting to prove themselves week to week. And if they can do it again this week, then that's another step in the right direction.
All right, more predictions coming in.
Good.
Thank you, folks. Good job. Keep them coming here. Howard in Connecticut says, John, I think it's Pat's 31. Jets 21.
People loving the 30-point score. I
just because they're like, averaging 30?
Yeah, but it's a tough defense.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm giving them 23.
Defense.
I mean, I have a hard time getting over that, because I think you've got to give some credit to the Jets D here.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This one comes from Dale.
Again, we'll take those scores if they happen.
Oh, there's no question. Dale from Bedford says, hi, John and Eric. Pat's 27. Jets 24. Let's say Pat Chung intercepts Sanchez in the end zone on the last meaningful play of the game. Ooh, I like that. You know what? Let's add to that. That's a good one, Dale.
Wow.
Who steps up and makes the play to win it?
Somebody you won't expect. A Ron Brace.
Pick a name.
A Ron Brace.
Ron Brace.
We'll come up with like a big sack or a stop on a fourth and short.
Dale just said Pat Chung. I like that. I like it.
I'm trying to think of someone else. Brandon Spikes.
Here's one for me.
Know, somebody here's, somebody okay. you haven't like associated you, with big play all year.
Here's one know? Here's one for me. Jermaine Cunningham.
But he's made some plays.
But not what I would call rim rocking game save.
Indianapolis.
Well, all right, well, Indy.
He altered the throw that caused the interception.
Yeah, but you know what though? That wasn't as apparent as the pick itself.
Of course, but without it, there's no interception.
That's possible. That's possible. All right, here's another one for you. Kyle Arrington.
I wouldn't be
at his
shocked.
At his hybrid at his outside linebacker position.
Oh, my God. If he came up with the game-winning sack, could you imagine? Oh, my God.
That's a good one. I like it. That's
it would
a winner.
It would,
That's
you know
a
what?
Winner.
I like that for another reason. The issue that comes out reviewing this game, I have a Kyle Arrington feature in it. So nice. it would work out perfectly.
All right, for you then, it's Kyle Arrington.
All right, then.
There's my choice.
All right, I'll take it.
Kyle Arrington.
I'll take it.
All right, Gustavo, our friend in Brazil.
And after he makes his, I will officially make mine.
All right. I cannot wait for the game. I wish they could play now.
Mm.
Well, you, Gustavo, and maybe 100,000 others.
I know.
Patriots players are not talking so much about the importance of this game, but I have the feeling that they are dying to crush the Jets.
Yes, yes. That's the sense I got from practice. You know they're not going to – I mean, even Brady at his press conference today. You remember in the first matchup, somebody asked him about the Jets, and he said, you know, I hate the Jets.
Right.
Somebody asked him today,
and he said,
do you still hate the Jets? And he said, yeah, Bill doesn't want us doing that, so I'm not going to
comment.
I mean, it's taking a lot of restraint for them because you know they're as competitive as anybody else and want to say what's on their mind, but they know for the betterment of the team, they have to stay in line, toe the company line. They're keeping it all in, and you know what? By design, that works because then they can take it all out on Monday night against their opponent.
Unleash the hounds. Okay.
Right.
Gustavo says, I hate how obnoxious the Jets fans are. That was one of Fred Kirsch's reasons why he hated the Jets. Mm-hmm. He says, my prediction is 38-14 Pats.
Man, again with the 30s.
See, here we've got people with full of emotion here, full of the testosterone thing going here, right?
Yeah.
And we've got all these scores in the 30s that I just think are a little, you know, I think, all right, it's okay to be a fan. It's all right to want that score, but I'm not so sure we're going to get that score.
Yeah.
About the throwback uniforms, he says, I love the 1985 version. I wish they could bring them back for good.
Yeah.
Can't you guys pull some strings to make that happen?
Yeah, I don't want to be ungrateful for what we do have.
You got to use your bully pulpit right here.
Well, I've
used the paper.
I have in the past in my commentary mentioned that I want those back. But I don't want to seem ungrateful for the fact that we have two games a year where we have them. So I really love looking forward to those games. And they've had success with them this year, so I would hope that they're going to come back again in future years.
Well, I like the fact that they actually play, you know,
and the people who,
two or three games a year with those uniforms.
That's what I mean. I like at least that. I like at least the fact that they honor that. And
I agree.
When they showed the highlights on ESPN for Thanksgiving, the first thing the commentator said, because they did like a pregame shot of the national anthem when all the Patriots were lined up, and first thing they said was, how great are those uniforms? They just pop on television.
They do because of the jerseys and because of the distinctness of them.
Yeah.
But you know what? When they were wearing them and they were, you know, the everyday suits, nobody, they were not all that. They're only all that now because of what we got now. And it's the
I never felt that way, though. I always loved those uniforms when I was a kid.
I obviously grew up with the Cowboys, as you know, but I always liked the Cowboys' home white uniforms. Nobody liked the dark blue roadies.
I love those blue uniforms.
I liked them.
I thought those were very sharp.
But very few people liked them, and that's why you always saw the Cowboys.
And the Cowboys hated them because they used to lose.
Yes, which is why they always wore the whites, and they never minded it when they traveled. They wore whites at home, forced the other team to wear the blues, or the darks, rather, the coloreds. And then when they were on the road, they would always wear the whites so the teams could wear their home jersey, because normally the home jersey
Washington.
Is the coloreds. Right. But the Redskins
and sometimes Philly.
And the Redskins would never let the Cowboys do. They would always have to wear the dark blues. Always.
Because the Redskins always wore white at home.
Right.
As well.
Yeah.
So, all right, I got to give my prediction and then I got to get upstairs.
Go.
My gut told me 28-24. I like Derek's 27-23. It's going to be a 4-point swing. I could even see 26-22. Weird score, a lot of field goals. But I'm going to stick with my gut, 28-24, New England.
Okay.
They'll cover. They'll win. I think it'll probably
always important to cover.
I think it'll probably be even comfortable for a while as far as...
But the Jets are going to come back?
Make a little comeback and then have the defensive stop at the end.
Kyle Arrington?
Yes.
Okay.
Coincide with my feature.
Yeah. I like it. Hey, whatever works for you, brother.
All right, man.
All right, have a good one this weekend.
Thanks.
Talk to you next week.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
All right. Eric Scalavino, Patriots Football Weekly. Let's sneak another quick timeout in here. And then Russell Baxter, who is the NFL Research Coordinator for ESPN, joined us on a Thursday, as he always does, to go around the NFL right here in the playbook.
So, Pat, how many advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn advantage miles, Brian.
Right.
I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Back inside Patriots Playbook, hour number two on a Thursday on Patriots.com Radio. I'm John Rook. Thanks to Eric Scalavino. Russell Baxter coming in shortly. Let's get a couple of more emails in here. Carl sends this. Two things you never do. Put baby in the corner and beat Belichick twice in 1 year. It's good. Pats 30-17, says Carl. Toussaint Lynn. I think that's how you pronounce it. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe I should just say, hey, T. He says, hey, Rook and Eric and Kevin. Rook, I have to correct you. Over the last 2 days, you've been saying if the Jets win, they'll be 3 games ahead. That's not true. They will be 2 games ahead. Well, here's the thing with that. In effect, T, they will be 3 games ahead because you're right about it being 2 games ahead, but in effect, the Patriots have to finish 1 game ahead of them in order to have any kind of advantage over them. So you add the 2 plus the 1, they need to pick up 3 games on the Jets. That's what I'm saying here in the standings. Russell, you're the numbers guru. Am I right or am I wrong about that?
Well, you had me at hello, to be honest with you.
I always have you at hello.
But like you said, I understand what you're saying.
Right.
If they are, they can't, if they lose the head-to-head tiebreaker
That's
in terms
right.
of getting swept,
right.
all bets are off. They have to finish ahead of them. There's no other way to do it.
And that's going
to
take 3 games.
Right.
And
you're
yeah.
running out of games is
right.
what you're doing.
Right.
So I get where you're coming from.
Sure.
So.
All right. I just wanted to make sure. He says Jets win. They'll be 10-2. Pats 9-3. If Jets lose 2 in a row, Pats win 2 in a row. Pats record would be better. 11-3 versus 10-4.
Right.
I understand that. But I agree if the Pats lose, they're in trouble, but the Pats will only be 2 games back. Well, again, technically you are right. They'll only be 2 back, but they've got to finish 3 games ahead in the standings. Or they've got to pick up 3 games in the standings to be making sure that they're ahead of the Jets. So that's why.
Yeah, they can't. The bottom line is if they get swept, in no stretch of the imagination can they tie the Jets, because
they can't tie.
No matter what, right. Even for a wild card, if it came down to a wild card, you break the tie in the division first,
right?
And the Jets would go ahead of the Patriots in everything.
That's correct, and they'd be two games back in the division. So that's why they'd have to pick up three games somewhere, because that's a tiebreaker if they're being tied.
And that's why the last weekend of the season is going to be so much fun, that every game is a divisional game.
Isn't that great, though? That's the one move that I did like, Russell, that the NFL did in the offseason was, you know, because we've, you know, it's been sickening over the last few years, over the last, you know, when we've gotten to the end of the season, week 16, week 17, and you've had teams talking about not playing players, tanking it, for lack of a better phrase, so they can rest people for the playoffs. And we've had this great debate over whether or not you need to be sharp and on running on all cylinders, or at your very best, or peaking, or what have you, as opposed to, oh, let's not put anybody in there because they could get hurt. Well, you know what? This is now not part of the equation. If you've got a divisional game, and unless you're up by two or three games, you have to play.
Yes, absolutely.
You got to play. And that was a stroke of brilliance, I thought.
Well, those games are going to mean something to everybody. That's the bottom line. Even you know, Carolina at 1-10, what they do in the last game of the year, and I want to say they might play Atlanta the last game of the year. I do not have the schedules in front of me, and so I'm trying to think. I think maybe New Orleans plays Tampa, and they play Atlanta.
Yep.
But that's going to mean something to everybody. I mean, again, the divisional games is because, and look at the way the division races are right now. Everybody's tied. Or a game out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody's running away with anything, so it's, you know, all hands on deck.
Absolutely. How was your holiday, by the way?
It was very good. It was stress free. It was not turkey free. So, you know,
mine was. But, you know what I had for Thanksgiving Day?
Well, I didn't get your pick, so I don't know if it was crow or not. So.
No, it wasn't crow. I would have had, you know, I certainly would have picked the Patriots, although about midway through the third quarter, it wasn't looking good. I actually had tacos.
Tacos?
Well, I was in the Cancun, Mexico airport.
Oh, God, I feel so awful for you.
Yeah, right.
Turkey tacos, huh?
Well, it wasn't turkey tacos, but it was, you know, it wasn't bad. Tacos, guacamole, you know, Dos Equis, you know, that kind of stuff. So, oh well. Hey, sometimes you just have to sacrifice. But I did feel sorry for myself, so I went home promptly and baked a pumpkin pie. How's that?
That's pretty good. Now that, by the way, now I know you are truly the world's most interesting man.
Thank you. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty. All right, we started off tonight with more Thursday night football. You've got the Philadelphia Eagles, who, you know, obviously they took a little bit of a step back this past week, but the Houston Texans, your preseason choice for a potential AFC championship team, but they're, you know, they're right on the precipice of getting knocked out yet again. So what do you think?
Well, listen, Houston doesn't play any defense, unfortunately, and I know that sounds weird coming off a shutout of the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, no kidding.
But and kudos to them. I give them the nod. They stacked the line to stop Chris Johnson, who had 7 carries for 5 yards, which means he would have rushed for 80 yards this year on that pace. But of course, they had the rookie quarterback, Rusty Smith, who they intercepted 3 times. And of course, Andre Johnson intercepted Cortland Finnegan once.
Mm-hmm.
As well. So, again, this is a team that does not play very good defense. They really don't have anybody who can really theoretically chase Michael Vick around like Julius Peppers could, like the defensive lineman of the Giants could. Obviously, the best defender for the Texans is Mario Williams, who has 8.5 sacks this year, and the rest of the team has 9.5 sacks.
Okay.
So that should tell you something about that.
Right.
They don't have D'Amico Ryans right now, Pro Bowl linebacker in most seasons. They have Bernard Pollard, and maybe he can chase them down, but I doubt it. So when you play defense like Houston plays, unless you plan on outscoring the Eagles in Philadelphia, I think your chances of, listen, and Michael Vick last week, I thought he played okay. I thought a lot of that fell on Philadelphia's defense last week. I thought that Philadelphia's defense, which another classic game for Jay Cutler, got sacked 4 times in the first half and was not sacked the rest of the game.
How do they do that?
I don't know. I mean you got to give some credit. And we can talk about the Bears later if you want and so
right,
on.
Right.
But you know, that you've got to have the right personnel to do that to Michael Vick. I don't think Houston does. And short week traveling up north, I think it's a tall order for the Texans. So, but the way the AFC South is going, You know, maybe somebody wins that division 9-7. I mean, you got 2 6-5s and 2 5s and 6s.
That's
I mean,
true.
It's a great hand of either pinochle or poker.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. I'm going to just touch on the other divisional games. For instance, the Bills at the Vikings. I have to admit, after watching the Bills come as close as they did again, yet again last week to Pittsburgh, I almost feel sorry for Buffalo. I thought I'd never say that about a divisional opponent, team that you have to face twice in a year, but I almost feel sorry for Buffalo.
Well, listen, it shows you, it really talks about, John, the parity in this league. They are only the fifth team in NFL history to lose 3 overtime games in a season. Look who they've lost to. They've lost to all 3 division leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore, Kansas City, Pittsburgh. Okay, so how far away are they really? Okay, but, you know, the difference in this league right now is learning how to win and learning not to lose. And, you know, Stevie Johnson, you know, oops. You know, they're, unfortunately for them, their defense is very substantial. They've given up at least 200 yards rushing in 5 games this year. And, you know, the Vikings, who are not scoring points right now, by the way, 17 points or less, 3 straight games.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, Adrian Peterson got hurt. It was Toby Gerhart. Gerhart be Peterson, whoever it's going to be. I can't see Buffalo stopping the Vikings run. And I really think it's going to be a tall order for Buffalo to go on the road and rebound from such a really demoralizing loss like that one that was last week. And you got to like Minnesota to at least keep faint hopes alive.
You would think so.
Yeah.
As far as the Dolphins are concerned, they're home against the Cleveland Browns. Dolphins just 1-4 at Sun Life Stadium this year. Of course, at 6-5 overall, though, technically they're certainly not out of wild card talk, but I would think the Browns could put them out of their misery this week or certainly have a good chance to do it.
Yeah, and a real oddity here. The Browns don't play in Miami that often. The last time they won a game in Miami was in 1970.
Has it been that long?
Okay. I mean, they've played there 6 times. I don't know what that means. I do know this. Peyton Hillis has scored 13 touchdowns this year. He had 3 more last week. The Browns offense last season had 21.
Wow.
That's quite a turnaround.
No kidding.
Is it Jake Delhomme again this week, who tried desperately to pass the Carolina Panthers to a win last week, which any other year would have been a good idea, but not a good idea when you're facing them?
You know,
we'll see what the quarterback situation is for them. Miami, listen, they finally won a home game not too long ago when they beat Tennessee, who's really reeling right now. Miami still in it. They're one of those 6-5 teams that is still in it, and this would be a very big win for them because it would be a conference win.
Right.
And so on. And Peyton Hillis is 1 good running back. The Dolphins have 2 good running backs. Miami 2, Cleveland 1.
Okay. There you go. That might end up being the final scores. Yeah, I was about to say. All right, let's look at then a couple of other games that, you know, certainly I think would have some interest to, you know, our fans here. The Raiders playing the Chargers. Raiders 5-6, Chargers 6-5. Chargers obviously could be a team that, you know, somebody in that division is going to have to win it, number one. Number two, the Raiders obviously still hold the Patriots' first pick, or at least the Patriots are getting their first-round pick next April from the Raiders at 5-6. Are the Chargers ready to pull away?
Well, it was really funny. John, you know that one of the big talks in this offseason has been the possibility of a 18-game schedule.
Right.
A lot of people don't realize that the San Diego Chargers have been petitioning the league for a 10-game schedule. Okay?
Yeah, but it only starts in week 6.
Starting about mid-October. Okay? Gives them plenty of time to go. It is astounding. We're 5-5. We win our last 6 games, and we win a division.
Mm-hmm.
We're 4-8. We win our last 4 games. We win a division. We're 2-3. We won our last 11 games. We win the division. We're 2-5. We've won 4 games in a row, and a game out of first place.
Mm-hmm.
The difference about this year, I will say, is that usually, I mean, listen, they have hurdled Denver many times. Denver gets out the big lead. They've kind of had to battle out with 2 teams. And unfortunately for them, they have lost both to the Raiders and to the Chiefs this year. Remember, the Raiders had lost to the Chargers 13 times in a row
mm-hmm.
before they beat them earlier this season. Oakland, just when it looked like they had turned a corner, I'm not saying they still haven't. You know, one of my favorite stats of the year is going into the Pittsburgh game, the Raiders in their first 9 games had run the ball at least 25 times and for at least 100 yards in every game they played. That's pretty consistent.
Right.
The last 2 weeks against the Steelers and the Dolphins, they've run for a total of 28 carries for 77 yards.
Wow.
Okay.
Screeching
halt. Not encouraging.
Right.
Okay. So, what do you say for that? We shall see. I got to like San Diego. They've done a good job overcoming their injuries. Funny, they just got Vincent Jackson back, and now he's out again. Ryan Matthews has been hurt. Mike Tolbert has filled in. They did their usual job on Indianapolis and Kate Manning, as they usually do when they play them. A lot of momentum. And the next couple weeks they can avenge, you know, these divisional losses. And they seem to have the momentum. But I will say this. Kansas City still must be dealt with. Okay? Their offense is humming right now. And I don't know if we're going to talk about Denver and Kansas City and so on. But Matt Cassel and Dwayne Bowe have put on a show the last 7 weeks, the last 7 games for them.
Cassel just named AFC Offensive Player of the Month.
Yeah. Matt Cassel has thrown 18 touchdown passes and one interception in his last 7 games. Okay? And 13 of the 18 touchdowns are to Dwayne Bowe.
Mm.
Okay?
And Jamal Charles is already over 1,000 in rushing.
Yes. Yeah, like exactly. And Thomas Jones is over 700, by the way. So, again, that's Kansas City, and we'll deal with them down the road, I'm sure. But I got San Diego's got the momentum going, and I think they're in a collision course with the Chiefs for that division.
Well, you know, since we brought up Kansas City, we'll take just a quick look at that one, simply because it's Denver, it's Josh McDaniels, and it's Josh making news early this week, throwing basically the Patriots under the bus again. So, we really didn't deal with it a lot because it's kind of like it's a dead story, even though to a lot of people around the country, it dug up that stuff that we were going through 2 years ago. Any thoughts one way or the other about how, number one, that might affect the Broncos' performances, number one, and number two, are you as sold that Josh is apparently solid in Denver?
Well, this was a team that was 6-0, and now it's 5-16.
Right.
In his last 21 games.
Right.
This was a team during its 6-0 start that was giving up 11 points a game on defense. And this is a team that's last 21 games has given about 28 points a game. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Defensive coordinator is now in Miami. He got rid of the star quarterback, obviously. He got rid of the star receiver. Now the fines for the filming practice, not a lot of positive signs. And I understand what the Broncos are saying now, but there's 5 more games to play. Let's see where they finish. And people have been known to change their mind. But there's some reevaluation that needs to go on here because the franchise is obviously headed in the wrong direction.
Well, you know, personally, I've always liked Josh. I think he's, you know, in a situation where he's trying to fight for his job a little bit here, trying to fight to hold on to the reins.
Mm-hmm.
I know there are a lot of people in Denver that are not terribly happy with the way that things have turned out. I hope that he still gets a chance to try to straighten this out. I just wish he hadn't dragged his old team back into that mess again.
You make a mistake. You got to go own up to it. I don't think it's necessary to bring other factors in it, too, and so on, but... if you just kind of keep on looking back. Oh, by the way, we mentioned Peyton Hillis about 5 minutes ago.
Yes.
He traded him.
Yes, he did.
For Brady Quinn and, 2 draft picks.
And how's that working out?
It's not.
Yeah.
So, people are questioning whether Tim Tebow can play. I mean, it's mounting evidence, a year and a half of mounting evidence, unfortunately, of... that you have to debate on whether the Broncos made the right decision and so on. And I don't know Josh McDaniels. I can just go by what is happening with his team. They play horrific defensively. Even when they scored 49 points against Kansas City a couple weeks ago, they had to hold on for dear life because they gave up 29.
Mm-hmm.
And, they gave up 59 points at home to the Raiders this year. So they're a team that has – no identity. They do not run the football at all anymore, which is hard to believe if you are a Denver Bronco fan or a Denver Bronco period. It's all throw the ball, and it's just very interesting to watch.
Definitely. I just, hey, it it kind of is what it is where that's concerned. I lost my schedule here. Oh, yeah, obviously, we got to mention the Bears because the Bears will be the next opponent for the Patriots after they're done with JETS Jets Week. Frankly, I had to think about it for a split second because there's so much focus on this game on Monday night, you forget that the Bears are upcoming rather rapidly.
Game, and by the way, the game obviously that's moved to a national game.
A national game. It'll be a late afternoon game, a 4:15 Eastern time start, so it got flexed out of the early time frame to the late time frame. Mm-hmm. The Bears have last week's Patriot opponent in the Lions, and they're playing at Ford Field. I wonder if this, though, couldn't be considered a little bit of a trap game for the Bears.
Well, it's very possible. Listen, Chicago's made a lot of strides. But Detroit is a very improved team despite their record. The Patriots...
Ask the Patriots about that because they were behind that game midway through the third quarter.
Right, and then the Patriots made some adjustments, and all of a sudden, suddenly it's a 21-point win, which anybody who watched the game know that was basically a football game for three quarters.
Sure.
You got to give the Bears credit where credit's due. They've already won more games than he did last year. Very remarkably, the Bears have run the ball for at least 130 yards in the last three games.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, that might surprise some people, considering they were averaging well under 100 yards a game the first eight games of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've become a much more balanced offense, and their defense is much better than it was last year. If you remember the Super Bowl year, it was getting worse, 06, 07, 08, 09. Definitely declined. I want to say they've given up 172 points this year.
Yeah.
The Bears. Yeah. Last year they gave up 375.
Well, I think I could probably boil it down to, the presence of, one or two guys, and one of them, kind of goes along with salt on your food.
Yeah, that's very do they have a garlic powder who plays for them?
Yes, that's Mr. Garlic Powder.
Yes, and a healthy Brian Urlacher.
Yeah, that also helps.
And Peppers is doing wonders along the line, and they're just getting outstanding play. They're much better against the run than they've been in recent years. And isn't it funny what changes of venue do? I mean, the defensive coordinator is Rod Marinelli,
mm-hmm.
Who was a great defensive line coach to begin with and maybe wasn't a very good head coach, but again, no one has really succeeded in Detroit. But they have played much better. I mean, Tommy Harris, who is a standout player, is not even a starter for them right now. But he still makes significant contributions for them. And Urlacher looks like Brian Urlacher from 5 or 6 years ago. And like I said, they have turned around. And when they beat Miami on a Thursday night a couple of years, it was the running game that did it. Again, last week, 4 touchdown passes from Jay Cutler, no picks. You keep on waiting for that implode game on him, and I will say this. The Lions haven't won a divisional game. They've lost 18 games in a row in the division, which is the longest streak since the merger. You keep waiting, and maybe this is a week. But traditionally, I know this sounds weird, the Lions don't usually play very well the game after Thanksgiving.
That's correct. I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah, they don't. And I think the Bears have a lot of momentum right now, and they know they have the Packers right on their heels. And gee, what a nice thing! The Bears and the Packers close the season at Lambeau Field against each other.
Like that, yeah.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
So for the Bears, they just got to keep on piling up the wins.
All right, if the Patriots and the Jets are 1A, then Steelers-Ravens on Sunday night have to be 1B, I would think. Both teams 8-3. They're playing in Baltimore. Steelers got by on the skin of their teeth against Buffalo this past week as well. Ravens are still flexing and crowing, thinking that they've got the best team in football. And you know what? It's hard to disagree. They're 5-0 at home, so they're unbeaten there. They get the Steelers right where they want them, or do they?
I'm an or-do-they person, and... I can't figure out the Baltimore Ravens for about a year and a half. I think they've been in flux on their offense. They finally got out and got a quarterback who they really like, but I don't know if he's been the bee's knees as much as everybody thinks he's been. And their defense this year has been spotty. At times it's been good, but spotty. They've been able to run on them. It was very interesting last week, just on a side note, that Tampa Bay, which has no pass rush, was able to sack Joe Flacco 4 times last week, mm-hmm. and the Ravens did not sack Josh Freeman. Now, the Steelers have their own weaknesses on the offensive line, but I think this is a Steelers defense game. And, you know, there's kind of been like kind of a round robin going on, John. And I know you know what I mean by this. New England, the Jets, the Ravens, the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
They've really kind of been the big four.
Yeah.
In the AFC.
Yeah,
and they've all taken turns playing each other. New England's beaten the Steelers. They've beaten Baltimore. They lost to the Jets. Baltimore's beaten the Steelers. They've beaten the Jets. They lost to New England. The Steelers are one team that haven't beaten. They haven't beaten the Ravens. They haven't beaten the Patriots. They play the Jets in a couple of weeks. And it's funny. There's been a knock on them this year that, you know, when they've played some of the better teams, New Orleans, New England, Baltimore, they've fallen short. I think Pittsburgh's better than that. I don't think they're going to fall short in every big game this year.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, and another one to throw out there is, you know, in 2006, the Ravens beat the living you-know-what out of Ben Roethlisberger in two games. They beat the Steelers a combined 58-7, sacked Ben 14 times, and really laid the wood to him. Since that game, and including their AFC Championship meeting in 2008, Ben Roethlisberger's won his last five games against the Ravens. I think the inability to get him down is a problem for their defense. And you combine that with a very, very surprisingly tough running game from Rashard Mendenhall, who a lot of people question whether he was a bang-bang type of runner. He's closing in on 1,000 yards. I think Pittsburgh goes into Baltimore and wins the game.
Okay. Man, Mendenhall is, what, like 30 yards or something off of 1,000, so
It epitomizes what you get with Pittsburgh right now as far as some of their problems. And remember, Ben last week, ankle got twisted around, turned, and, you know, a lot of people didn't like the way that went down and so on, yet rolls out of pocket for an 18-yard run, diving run for a big first down and so on. The Steelers ran for 206 yards last week, and yet Ben was also sacked five times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a hot and cold. And you know who? It's funny. They've gotten great play out of the rookie center, Marquise Pouncey. And they've gotten a really good run blocking from Flozell Adams on the right-hand side. Now, Flozell is not necessarily the pass blocker you want anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been the two most dependable offensive linemen for them. And you'll notice Rashard Mendenhall, when he gets some of these big runs, it's to the right side. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but if I had our excellent stats and information group run it for me, I'm willing to bet that Rashard Mendenhall has got a lot of big runs and a lot of big chunks of yardage running right against teams that's by Flozell Adams.
Well, the Patriots did all their damage to the Steelers coming from the left side. So that was right after they had made a couple of replacements due to injuries on that side, too. So.
Well, exactly. I mean, you go back. In fact, the New England-Pittsburgh game, people forget. There was Max Starks and Chris Kiamatu had gotten hurt the week before against Cincinnati. Entered Jonathan Scott. Entered Raymond Foster. Instantly starters left, and they went after that. But you also remember in that game, Rashard Mendenhall had one big run against the Patriots,
mm-hmm.
and it was down the right sidelines.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right, that gets us then to the battle for first place in the AFC East. Pats and Jets, Monday Night Football, ESPN special. 103rd meeting between the two teams, a virtually even record, although the Jets have won 51 of the previous 102. Teddy Bruschi night, you know, the Patriots are going to honor Teddy
Bruschi. I've heard of him.
Yeah, I know. Special halftime ceremony, you know, it's going to be a big night. Not that the night needs to be any bigger than it already is between two teams that are, you know, in a dead heat first for not only the division title and the division first place in the division, but best record in pro football right now at 9-2 overall. Most of the people that have responded to us today on the program here, Russell, are just like, good gosh, could we please just get to Monday already? You know, I don't know how you guys look at it. I realize the Jets, the Patriots, and the talk are going to continue over the next, you know, 2 to 3 days. But it really kind of boils down to a couple of very, very simple things. In our estimation, number one, whether or not the Patriots' offense can continue to have the success that they've had lately. They're going to do it against one of the best statistical defenses in the league. That's number one. Number two, and maybe even the bigger question, is whether or not the Jets on offense can force the Patriots defense, which has done a lot of bending this year to the point where they're, you know, dead last in pass defense, they're next to last in total defense, but they haven't cracked enough with points. But can the Jets defense finally crack, or Jets offense finally crack that Patriots defense? And the only way that the Patriots can balance that out is if can they force turnovers from a Jets offense that has a penchant for not turning them over.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you on one factor there, John.
Okay.
And to me, that the Patriots have bent. They are 22nd in the league in points allowed.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I did say they've bent.
Yeah,
I said they haven't. They haven't cracked because they haven't lost games.
Right. No, they haven't lost games. But, you know, a lot of people like to compare this Patriots team now to the 01 Patriots.
Right.
And that people forget that in 01, the Patriots were 20 foot, one of my favorite stats, along with them scoring three offensive touchdowns and three playoff games and winning the Super Bowl.
Right.
They were 24th in yards allowed that year in total defense.
Okay.
They were 6th in points allowed.
All right. So now, this defense has a way to go to get to 2001.
Absolutely. And I don't know if it's ready yet for this one. And listen, Tom Brady's had a magnificent year. And red hot right now, not throwing a pass. I don't think he's thrown a pick since the Cleveland game. He as much on his game as he has been. But that Patriots defense really has me concerned. They've won these games. They've given up 26, 28, 24 during, you know, their last three wins, even though they have scored 39, 31, and 45.
Mm-hmm.
So, very interesting thing about New England this year is, and you and I discussed this last year, of how they were not a second-half team last season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they only scored last year. I want to say right off the, I've got the numbers in front of me just in case. I don't have this number in front of me. Last year, I believe they scored 282 points in the first half, and then in the second half in overtime, they only scored 145.
Mm-hmm.
This year, in the second half already in 11 games, they've scored 198 points.
There you go.
In the second half. Now, what's also very interesting is, go back. The last three times these teams have played, and the Jets have won two of them. The home team has won all three since Rex Ryan announced his presence in New York. In the second half of those three games, the Patriots have scored 7 points.
Mm.
They got when they blew out Mark Sanchez, intercepted him four times. They got a fourth quarter touchdown last year. But in both games in New York, they were shut out in the second half. They were shut out 18-0 in the second half of the game this year. Again, I don't know what kind of adjustments they're making, although the Patriots have been great with the adjustments they made on Thanksgiving Day were great. But again, I'm concerned about their defense, and concerned enough that I think the Jets should be able to move the football. And I frankly like the Jets in the game. No one in the division has swept Bill Belichick since 2000, his first year in New England. The Jets did it and the Dolphins did it. But I get a feeling that streak comes to an end, and if you're going to hang up on me, I hope not.
No.
But I'm leaning toward the Jets on Monday night.
How about a score?
I'm going to say 27-17.
That big?
By 10. By at least 10.
So you think the Jets' defense is going to be able to hold back the Patriot offense like that?
No. I'll steal a quote. Well, not really steal a quote, but semi came up with it myself. You know, Tom Brady is a great quarterback. But Tom Brady standing next to Bill Belichick isn't very effective.
Ah, so the Jets keep the ball out of his hands.
Well, listen, it's a tried and true formula. I don't know how much heat they'll be able to get on him, to be honest with you. But I don't know if they're necessarily going to have to do that. And like I said, the defense of the Patriots has me concerned. And there's also another factor in here that was not around for the first meeting, even though the Jets won it, and that's Santonio Holmes. And he is become a big game wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
He makes big plays at big times. You know, when he was at the Steelers, he played in four playoff games and he scored a touchdown in every one of them. And of course, we know what his Super Bowl heroics with Ben Roethlisberger wound up doing when they beat the Cardinals
right, with
the tippy toe catch. But again, I think it's the Jets' time. I think this is what Rex Ryan came here to do. I'm not saying he's going to do it. Now, Mark Sanchez, perfect against the AFC East this year. In fact, 8 touchdowns, no picks. Not the case last year against the AFC East. So, obviously, how he plays is important as well. But I think the Jets control the ball. I think they make just enough plays. And it's going to be – I wish I was going to be there. It's going to be a raucous scene in Foxborough. I know Tom Brady hasn't lost a home game in a long time, a regular season
right, home
game.
Right.
But the, it's funny. It's the perfect storm. The Jets haven't lost on the road, and the Patriots haven't won at home. One of them, obviously, is going to end.
Right.
And it's a heavyweight battle in the AFC this weekend, and I'm leaning toward both road teams in the big games.
All right, very good. We'll revisit this, of course, next week, correct?
Yes, there's a chance I could be wrong. Or there's a chance I could be right.
There's no question about that. Yeah. All right, good stuff as always, brother. Great to visit with you again. Glad you had a good holiday, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, John. Take care, man.
Russell, thank you. Russell Baxter, ESPN's NFL research coordinator, and right now he's the only person that I've heard from all week that says the Jets will win this game. Does that worry you? Does that concern you? Webradio at Patriots.com, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482, or Facebook page. Final timeout. We get back to your emails coming up in the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders?
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking like newspapers, you know, when you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio. Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
15 minutes left to go on the Playbook here, so if you've got your thoughts on the game, your predictions, email them in or pick up the phone and you can call. I don't know if you managed to hear what Coach Belichick had to say in his press conference earlier today. We've got the stuff be streamed. If it's not already on Patriots.com, you can check it out a little bit later. But just to sort of paraphrase, he was apparently trying to sort of match, I guess, Rex Ryan with some humorous things off the top. Question was, what were the coaches up to on Wednesday, which was an off day for the players? A little bit of a different schedule, as we talked about with Eric Scalavino in the opening hour of the program today. And he says, we played golf, bowling, little badminton tournament, ate some watermelon, played cards. He says, no, seriously, Wednesday was totally about the Jets other than pony rides and canoeing. Now, you know, for those of us that, you know, listen to Coach Belichick on a regular basis, I appreciate the attempt at humor. It might or might not have been funny to you, but I think you truly have to sort of like listen to it to appreciate it, because for him, that's humor. It's not Rex Ryan, you know, let's go have a GD snack humor, but it's humor. So do yourself a favor, and you can download that, and you can listen to it a little bit later on. All right, let's get to some predictions here and some other emails that we've got going on via Facebook. Posts coming from Bob. He says, Pats 31, Jets 24. Patriots will pick Sanchez at least once. Also look for a Patriots trick play, like a wildcat, flea flicker, halfback option. Okay. I don't know if that's three separate plays or all one, but I kind of like the wildcat, flea flicker, halfback option. That's pretty tricky. He says, look for that at a crucial time in the game that leads to points. I like it. Lyndon says, 21-18, Pats. My wife and I are flying back east to visit family. We'll be driving down to Boston from New Hampshire to watch the game at a sports bar. Perfect. And then Gregory says, Rook! First off, I'm so nervous about this game, but I really think that the Pats have this game on lock. He says, 35-24, Pats. I just think that the defense isn't as bad as everyone seems to think that it is. I mean, it's definitely not the best defense in the world, but it's a very smart defense. Very smart defense. It was played pretty decent as of late, with the exception of the first half against the Lions. You could also probably include the third quarter there. But that was a tired team with a general game plan. The offense is definitely going to stay in stride, maybe not 45 points. But if you think about it, Rob Ryan's defense caused confusion. but didn't cause fits for the team. It was the mental errors and not being able to tackle the linebacker running back Peyton Hillis. The Jets don't have anyone like that, and as long as the Pats don't make stupid mental mistakes, this game is ours. Thanks for the show until Kevin and Eric, hi. All right, here you go, Kevin. Hi. Gregory says hi. Duly noted. Thanks, Gregory. All right, appreciate that. Now let's go back to our emails as well. webradio@patriots.com for your predictions. James, Pats win 20-13. Pats manage to confuse Sanchez, pick each by Sanders and McCourty, one of which gets taken to the house. All right, bold predictions, stepping up predictions. Somebody's going to step up and make a play. Who? Who, in your estimation, is going to step up and make the play that needs to be made for the Patriots to win this game? Sean. John, this game has me really tossing and turning. I feel it's a coin flip game that will be decided on turnovers. I've watched the Jets' offense stall in the red zone many times over the past 4 weeks and get lucky more than any other team I have seen. The fact that I have not heard one person, at least on the TV shows or programs I listen to, scares me. Well, you heard one, Sean, if you just heard Russell Baxter, who says he likes the Jets here on Monday. So you might have already heard your first, if, of course, you were paying attention or you were with us. You might not be with us, but that's fine. You'll hear it when you download the podcast. Justin, based on average points per game scored and allowed, Patriots 27, Jets 24. Pats win by a field goal in overtime. All right, so Justin says this game's going to OT on Monday. Patriots win it on a Shane Graham field goal. Wow. Okay. Gene at Daytona. Love the show. Really value your opinions. Thank you, Gene. Why don't the Patriots just use Brandon Tate on kickoff returns and Taylor Price on the outside or Hernandez? Brandon performed a lot better before Randy left and was forced into wide receiver duty, sort of like Devin Hester now. Some people perform better with less responsibility. Well, they're still going to use Brandon Tate on kickoff returns because it's what he does best, and he's still at the top of the league leaders in that category, so I don't see that responsibility going away anywhere. Gene says Pats 31, Jets 20. All right, now we're getting into some good predictions here. Dan says, I get tired of Suggs crying about Brady all the time. Will someone calculate the number of flags thrown against Brady and other quarterbacks in the league so we can argue this with data and not Ravens brainwash? If the NFL was a MMORPG, Suggs would be tagged with the cry more. Okay, Dan from Hoppington. Thank you, Dan. Let's go with Dave. Where's Dave coming to us from here? Dave's coming from the 508. All right. Hi, John. Have you noticed the new trend in the league is to defer the kickoff if you win the coin flip? It's not a new trend. That's been going on for several years now. As far as I can remember, Bill Belichick pretty much always defers the kickoff when the Pats win the coin toss, opting to have the ball in the beginning of the second half. Now it seems all the coaches are doing it. Well, that I would agree with. Belichick is a person that always did that, you know, probably 5, 6, probably even up to 10 years ago. And I used to hate it when he did that, but now you notice everybody's doing that. He says, my prediction, Jets win the coin flip and defer to the Pats. Game ends in regulation at 17-all. Pats win the coin flip in OT. Brandon Tate takes it to the house. Pats win 23-17. All right. See, now these are very creative predictions. Now we're stepping out. Now we're naming names in terms of who's going to make the big play. I like it. Ooh, Andrew's going to give me a big one here. From Sandy, Utah. All right, John, here we go. Jets are coming to town for the most important game of the season. Like most Patriot fans, I've been looking forward to this game ever since the Week 2 loss. Left a nasty taste in my mouth. So happy that we have the record we have and that the season has been full of pleasant surprises. But in order for the season to be a complete success, we have to beat the Jets. And I really like our chances, too, because even in the Week 2 game, when we were much less experienced as a team, we pretty much had control of the game in the first half. However, going to Moss again and again and again killed our drives and momentum, and that was it. I think that this week we match up better than when we had Moss. Now that we don't have Moss, I wonder how they'll defend us. Will they double Weckler, leaving the rest in man coverage, or do they double someone else? My own opinion here, Andrew, I don't think they double anybody. He says, I think they place Revis and Cromartie on Welker and Branch, maybe doubling one of them every now and then. Tight ends and Woody will be where we can take advantage of some mismatches. I think Gronk and Hernandez could both have really productive games. Wes and Branch might be open on little quick passes, but they won't beat Cromartie and Revis on anything deep. Again, I think that Woodhead could shine in this one. I look for him to make another big play this week, either on a screen or even a draw. Also, Green Ellis will play well once again, so here are my predictions. It says Green Ellis, 80 to 90 yards rushing and a touchdown. Brady, 28 to 35, 265, two touchdowns, no picks. Welker, 5 catches, 45 yards. Branch, 6 catches, 50 yards. Tate, 1 reception, 15 yards. Gronk, 5 catches, 50 yards, 1 touchdown. Hernandez, 4 catches, 40 yards, no touchdowns. Woodhead, 7 catches, 65 yards, 1 touchdown. He rushes 8 times for 40 yards. Hey, this is taking some good thought here. Morris, 1 reception, 5 yards, no touchdowns. Taylor, 2 attempts, 8 yards. So he's picking Taylor to get in the game here, no touchdowns. Graham, 2 field goals. Well, by my count, you've only got them scoring 13 points. Oh, I see. Okay. Oh, you got Woodhead and Gronk. All right, so that's 14 there. And you got 1 rushing touchdown, so that's 21. You got 2 field goals, 27. All right, now I got you. And he says, final score, 27-20 Patriots. My pick for who makes a big play at the end, on offense, Woodhead. Big third or fourth down pickup. And then on defense, Will Fork with a huge sack. Andrew, great email. Okay. Greg sends this email. He posted on Facebook earlier. He says, Kevin, where is PFW on the podcasts? We'll have to find out. Kevin's on the phone. Kevin is in high school football hell right now, so please bear with him, because he's got 6 Massachusetts state championship games here at Gillette Stadium on Saturday, and he's in high school hell. He didn't think he was going back to high school, but he's going back to high school this week. All right, this one comes from Brooklyn Matt. He says, welcome back, I suppose. Thanks, Brooklyn Matt. Hey, how you like this one? Since you left us high and dry for like 3 straight shows, even radio demigod Pete Shepard and Kevin did a show last Wednesday and took the second of your complete one-week in-season hiatuses you've sprung on us. Know what I did? I boycotted yesterday's show. Ha-ha! I turned off my computer with a snooty mouse click right as In Progress ended. That's right, John. Like Logan Mankins, I held out in retaliation over the raw deal I was getting. And furthermore, I refused to email in a prediction today, too. How you like them apples? Well, to tell you the truth, this morning I decided to listen to yesterday's show after all. Damn you. I had to keep my streak intact, unlike yourself. Hey, John, there's a stickball game going on down the freaking block here in Brooklyn. You want to split to announce that one, too? John, I think you have a problem. You need to go to an AA meeting. Yeah, Announcers Anonymous. You can stand up and admit, hi, my name is John and I'm an announcer. I just can't stop and I need help. I let down my playbook fans all the time and they're at the end of the rope with me. Just kidding. Nice to have you back in the fray. And oh yeah, screw the Jets. Brooklyn Matt, that's a keeper. Rack him, says Jim Rome. Oh, that's outstanding. Did you hear any of the email? I know you're in high school hell. I realize that. All right, I'm going to save this one for you because it's hilarious.
Cool.
Brooklyn Matt's email is hilarious. I mean, it's made me laugh until I almost cried.
Send it to my email.
It's good. I will. That's really good, Brooklyn Matt. But you didn't give me a score. Okay. Brett in Brockton. Yes, John, the Patriots lost to the Jets earlier this season, but the Patriots have beaten a lot of good teams with winning records. The Jets have struggled to beat the teams that have losing records. The Patriots this time are a different team. No Moss means Brady will throw to the open receiver, not like in the first game when Brady just kept ignoring every other receiver in the field and focused on Randy. That's why I think it'll end Patriots 35, Jets 14. Thank you, Brett in Brockton. Well, I have to admit, I'm not terribly surprised that it seems like the entire flow has gone with the Patriots, with the exception, and this is what worries me, Bilo, this is what worries me a lot. The only person that's picked against the Patriots is Russell Baxter from ESPN.
And you're saying that because you respect his opinion.
I, of course, do.
Yeah, and greatly. Rightfully so.
Greatly.
But I'm with the majority then. I'm still with the majority.
Okay.
Yeah. And you are too, right?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Barely. I did pick earlier. I said at the stop at the top of the show, and I'll say it now at the end of the show, 23-21. But somebody steps up and makes a big play at the end. My choice was Kyle Arrington to make the big play.
Interesting. Well, I'll tell you what, one reason why I would say that Kyle Arrington making a big play is not beyond the realm of possibility is because I just think that Sanchez is probably going to try to pick on Arrington.
I would think so. I think
that's so. I think a lot of balls are going to be thrown toward whoever Arrington is covering.
Good chance for
and
that.
And what this defense has been doing is, yeah, they've been giving up a lot of yards and certainly their share of points. They've been making the big plays.
Absolutely.
Getting the interceptions. And so I think McCourty, after the last game, is now entering that far from shutdown cornerback yet, but he's kind of that guy that you've got to really pay attention to, whereas Arrington is not yet. So I just think he's going to be picked on more and might have more chances at making one of those kinds of plays.
You want to make a score prediction?
Sure, I'll make a score prediction. I'm going to go 30-21 Patriots.
By 30-21
nine. Patriots.
So a relatively comfortable.
No, I'm not. I don't think it's going to be comfortable. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised at it being 27-21. Jets have the ball with 5-6 minutes left. Patriots make a stop, able to get a field goal toward the end.
I
don't think it's going to be comfortable.
Okay.
But I think it could be a 30-21 without it being comfortable. I don't think, you know, I think I said this right before the Pittsburgh game or something like that. I don't see the Patriots blowing anyone out over the course of the year.
Right.
Well, you know, I mean, Pittsburgh was a pretty comfortable win. Detroit was a pretty comfortable win.
But it was close for three quarters.
But close for a while. And so they can have wins where the score might be lopsided, but it's not quite the feel of a blowout. And the Jets are a good team. Jets are a good team, and the Jets' passing offense in general, I think, is going to cause this Patriots team some problems because they did back in week two without Santonio Holmes.
Right, right.
And if anything, that passing offense has improved. Their run game is still there. I think it's going to be a challenge for the Pats defense, but I still think give me the Patriots at home. I know that the Jets and Patriots both had 11 days off, but give me Bill Belichick and his staff with 11 days to prepare and some of those intangible things like they're not going to lose twice to the same team in the same year. They don't lose at home. I just like the Patriots in a lot of these ways.
All right, Fantasy Lowdown, what's coming up?
You betcha. We're heading into the home stretch here.
Right.
You know, next week is really, or 2 weeks is really when fantasy playoffs begin. So a lot of interesting names out there on the waiver wire. Going to try to help some people out who are, on the verge of maybe clinching a playoff berth or trying to stave off elimination and maybe look ahead at, if you're already in the playoffs. The fantasy playoffs are usually during week 15, week 16 of the NFL season. Important right now to look at some of the matchups in those weeks, set yourself up well for the playoffs.
All right.
You like that?
I like it.
How do you
not? You are half a step ahead.
How do you not?
You're not even a half a step. You're a full step ahead.
I'll tell you what, and if this clock is correct, I'm a rare early bird today.
That clock is
not correct.
Okay. 6 minutes behind.
I was going to say, I shouldn't give myself that much credit.
No.
I'm usually here at about 3:58, 59.
Yep, that clock
is six minutes
slow.
Yeah. Okay.
So just add six to that.
Which means it's 4 o'clock, time for the lowdown.
It is. All right, yeah. Caesar from Pleasanton, California. His final email here, Pats 27, Jets 24. Thank you for all of your predictions. You really stepped up to the plate. Great emails today. Great response via Facebook. Let's go. Let's kick this thing off. I'm ready. We'll have the playbook next Wednesday and Thursday because Tuesday will end up being Patriots Monday, if that makes sense to you at all. But, of course, if you're a part of the schedule around here, you know that anything goes as far as Patriots.com radio is concerned. But that's when we'll be back. Enjoy the game over the weekend. Enjoy the game on Monday night. I'm sure you will. But, if you're anything like me, you'll agonize over it as well. Same Pats time, same Pats channel. Later.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program.
Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines, Patriots.com. Radio.